If the children would come forward.
Good morning. I'm glad to have you here this morning. Always make Sunday a lot more fun with you guys here. All right, today I'm going to start by asking you, who do you go to when you have questions? Who do you go to God?
Parents.
God? And teachers, yes. For example, if you had homework you had to do, who would you ask for help to help you get to figure out your homework? Jesus would help you figure out your homework? Your teacher? Your sister, yes. Older siblings can help you with that. How about things like learning, like learning to make your bed? Who ends up helping you learn things? Like, who helps you to learn to make your bed? Your mom or dad often teaches you how to do that kind of things. Well, I got thinking that all these people we do seek out information from, but can they ever be wrong?
Yes,
they can give us bad information sometimes, huh? We go to them for their wisdom, and they can give us some bad information. But the truth is, there's one place and one person that never gives us bad information. And who is that? God, that's right. And we get his good information from the Bible. So God helps us with a lot of things, like, how about if I'm extremely sad? Who would I go to? God. Maybe your parents too, yes. God can help you through extreme sadness. What if you're angry and you're just having trouble getting rid of that anger? You're just angry. Can God help you work through that? Does he have some wisdom in the Bible for you? How about forgiveness? Someone does something and it really, 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 really hurts our feelings and we're having trouble forgiving them. Can God help us work through that? Yeah, he can. He can help us get through all of it. Matter of fact, we're supposed to give our worries and our fears and our concerns to God. We're not supposed to hold on to them. We're supposed to share them and even give them over to God. So when I was trying to think of how to demonstrate giving things over to God, I thought of a banana. You like bananas. Bananas are yummy, right? So I got to thinking that when we have all those big feelings, we're supposed to give them all to God. So like if this is my fear or my anger, I'm supposed to say, God, help me with this and kind of give it to him and say it's yours. And then it's not mine. I don't have to worry about it. I don't need fears. But that's not what I do. Let me show you what I do. I start thinking about my fear, or I start thinking about my loneliness or being scared, and I kind of pick and peel away at it. So I haven't even given it to God. But I might keep kind of going at it and worrying, and it's up in my head. And I'm like, God, it's yours. Well, wait, God, it's not yours yet. Okay, God, it's yours. No, not yours yet, God. And I keep taking it back. I keep taking the fear or the sadness or the anger, and I keep bringing it back when what God wants me to do is to give it all to him, not hold on to it at all. He doesn't want me to pick and pull at it. He doesn't want me to worry about it. He doesn't want me to get all upset about it. He doesn't want me to eat it and internalize it and have it right in me. He doesn't want me to do any of that. He wants me to give the whole thing to him. All right? So our true support comes from God. And I want to read from Psalms 121 because I think it's a great psalm about God being with us. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So he is our helper. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Does God ever sleep?
No.
Not even once. He doesn't even close one eye. He just stays awake the whole time. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. So God is our protector. He protects us. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your comings and your goings, both now and forever. So how long will he be with me?
Forever.
Today and into all of my tomorrows, he will be with me. And every time I have those worries and those fears and I'm scared or lonely, I need to learn and be able to give it all to God and let him be with me. And for me to find my peace and being with God all the time. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for promising to be with us and for always helping us. I can peacefully sleep because you never do. Thank you for being our help. Thank you for your love. We love you, Lord. In his name I pray, amen.
If you've been at our church for very long, you know that using a banana for an illustration is dangerous around here. Right, Robert? Did she humble you this morning? A few years ago, I had a banana in my sermon illustration, and I laid it here on the altar when I was through and went out and greeted some folks and came back, and my banana was all that was left was a peel. But the person that ate my banana forgot that we have cameras in the church. Isn't that right, Robert Mills? Oh, man. Our sin always comes back on us, brother. If you'll rise with me, let's say this creed together, if you are able to rise. Christians all over the world are saying this with us today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Few things to announce. Wanted to let you know we did baptized little Paxton Wade Pegram this in the early service today. Kyle and Megan, mom and dad, for Paxton, and that was a blessing. And got the couple of announcements. Where's Shauna? Shauna, you switched. You were over there last service. You're messing with me, aren't you? Okay. All right.
Good morning. So some of y'all are going to think I'm crazy, but it is already time to start looking at the Easter drama for this year. And so this year, we have three plays that we kind of cycle through. This year, we are back to the Living Last Supper. So that consists of Jesus and his 12 disciples. So I'm so sorry, ladies, but this year it is the men's turn to step up and take charge of that play. And so I am looking for 12 disciples and Jesus this year. This one does consist of each disciple has a short little monologue to memorize. I let them make it their own, but you do get a script that you can go off of, and so it does require some memorization and line performance, but no experience is needed, I promise. I have had people that have never once stepped foot on stage or spoken, and I hope they have fun. It seems like they do, and I try to make it painless as possible. Cody, was it fun last year? No. My poor husband, he didn't realize when he married a youth pastor, he was also going to be voluntold to be an Easter place. But we had a lot of fun. So our performances are April 16th and 18th. That's the Wednesday and Friday before Easter. And then our first meeting will be February 9th, right after church. I'll provide pizza that day, and then the following rehearsals will be whatever time on Sunday afternoons work best for those. I definitely want to give time for y'all to go have lunch with your family and everything. So if you would be willing, gentlemen, to step up and be one of those 12 disciples, please just let me know. I am usually flitting about on Sunday mornings. I'll be in the church office, and of course you can email or call me. My number is on the church website, but if y'all would be willing to do that, I'm really excited to get this production going this year. Thank you.
So a few years ago, Gary Gamotes, raise your hand back there. So Gary was recruiting people, disciples, for this play, and he was short a disciple, and we had a first-time visitor in his family that walked in, and this man had a beard, and Gary greeted him at the door and said, "Hey, you have a beard? You want to be in our play?" First-time visitor, and the guy said, "Okay." And he was in the play, wasn't he, Gary? So, yeah, he never came back again. Okay. Also have another announcement. Mike Matthews has an announcement for us.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mike. Yeah, life is interesting. This morning, our foundation family class studied Psalms 121. That's pretty cool. I did not dare to bring a banana, though, as part of the... And also, we're hammering on the men today, so I've got a message for the men. I want to encourage the men in this room and our online brothers to prayerfully consider committing less than 24 hours of your life to the time frame of Friday, January 31st and Saturday, February 1st. We'll be holding an annual event called the Men's Summit. There's the information on the app to sign, and there is a handout in this morning's bulletin. It's a short drive to Luther's, Texas, to the Big Country Baptist. I call it the campus there for the retreat. So what did I want to encourage you to think about at this time as you're prayerfully considering is time is the most valuable thing you can invest in. No doubt about it. Why not invest a portion of your time to your relationship with the Lord and Savior in a special way? That type of investment will never fail to bear fruit. How is that possible? Test the Lord on it and you'll find out. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that's going to be our theme. So men, this is a challenge. You will invest your time in worship. This year it's led by some outfit called Larry Snodgrass and the Levites. That's a thing. Have you ever heard of them? We will encourage words. We will enjoy encouraging words, including talks by Robert Mills and Varelas. And Miguel and Robert have something important for us to hear. I'm looking forward to it. You also will have some spiritual sharpening that will clearly be seen in the small group talks at following those talks. There's an insert in the bulletin. You can sign up on the app. We really need a decent count by next week, so this is going to happen pretty quick. This is 2 weeks. Transportation will be provided as usual. If you have any questions, I'll be at the front after the service. And we also have Joseph Young and Gary Gamotes on the leadership team. You can contact them and or Billy. One final thought from 1 Corinthians 16 on why we invest our time in events like this. There was an eventful day in the Israelites' life where King David had returned the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It's a great story. The Israelites invested a day to just give praise before the Lord. And in the last verse, verse 43, we find this precious jewel. Then all the people left, each to their own home, and David returned home to bless his family. And that's why I'm encouraging you today to prayerfully consider to go on this summit. And then when you return home, bless your family. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Want to spend some time with the Lord in prayer. A couple of things I want us to focus on this morning. Obviously, to continue to lift up the people in California that have had such great loss, loss of home and loss of life. And also, we have, if in case you hadn't seen the news, we have an inauguration going on tomorrow. And just getting some words and checks in my spirit and other spirits that we need to be praying for protection for that event. Whoever you vote for and whoever you're politically aligned with, we don't want to see anyone that has violence against them. So we want to really pray for protection for incoming President Trump and for all the people that will be there. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Let's spend just a moment kind of setting aside the busyness of your week and the details of where you're going to have lunch and all those details. Just would you set those aside and center and focus on the Lord for just a moment. Father, you, as Teresa taught the children, you always have the right answers. You never leave us or forsake us. Even when we go through the trials of this life, you love us and you walk with us and you embrace us. You're the God of all comfort. You're the Prince of Peace. Nothing escapes your notice. And there is nothing we face that's greater than your love for us. We lift up those families that have lost homes, maybe everything they have, they've lost. Those who've lost loved ones, we lift them up. And would you be that God of comfort and peace? Embrace them. Jesus, you said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And so would you be that to these people that have this loss? And Father, as we have this inauguration tomorrow, Father, a new chapter in our nation, first of all, I just pray for supernatural protection for incoming President Trump, for all the cabinet members, all the dignitaries that will be there, and all just the common people that will be there. Father, would you protect? If there's anyone with intentions to do harm, would you intercede? Would you step in front of those people, those intentions? Would you cause chaos in their plans? Father, we just pray that our nation, we would be a nation that, again, would be one nation under God, that we would place you first. Every decision that's made, every person with power and influence would be someone whose heart is after you. And Father, again, if there are people that with evil intentions, either it could be someone abstract in the congregation, in the crowd, but it also could be people that are in the cabinet, in one of the dignitaries. It could be anyone. So, Lord, we pray against that, that you would stand up and you would be our strong tower. May a hedge of protection be around incoming President Trump and all that would be up front and the crowd that will be there. Lord, we trust you. We pray that we would return to be one nation under God. One nation under God. That's our prayer. Father, we love you and we trust you and we thank you that you walk with us. No matter what this life throws at us, you walk with us. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for the prayer you've taught us to pray as we pray that together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to continue to worship together as we do that. Just again, thank you for your continued faithfulness. Thank you for many of you have already begun to donate to our building program. We appreciate that and your ongoing financial support for our church. There's giving boxes at either end of the sanctuary. There's also you can give online through our app or our website. Again, thank you. Let's worship.
Get our blood pumping just a little bit before we slow it back down. But one of the things as we were picking songs is, as Jeff has already mentioned, you know, something changes in our country tomorrow. I don't know if you've heard about it. But with that being said, regardless of who's in office, regardless of who takes that position, regardless of who's on cabinet, regardless of who's going to be there, regardless of what you've heard, what you've feared, what you've celebrated, the fact is that we still worship the one on the throne. So with that being said, I think more than any time in our, more than any time in our seasons, around election time and around inauguration time are good reminders of, hey, we need to humble ourselves before the throne of God. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. So as we sing this, let's do that together.
So give us
Once again, welcome this morning. Glad you are worshiping with us and glad to have our online worshipers. If I didn't mention it earlier, but Carlene is still on the mend, and Billy is, I don't know if she has a little bell for him or what, but he's trying to help her, and so we want to continue to lift up Carlene that she gets well. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're with us. If you would be so kind, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe, and it says guest registration, and would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you. At the end of the service, I'll be down here and have a free gift for our guests. Hope that you will come, and I'd like to get to know you a little bit. We've got Wednesday nights going on. We started last week. It was a big success. Had lots of folks there. So it's not too late to jump into that. If you'd like to, our meal from 5 to 6 and And groups and children and youth ministry start at 6 and over at 7:30. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. Now, Jesus has, he's gone to the cross, he's been resurrected, and Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Did you know, by the way, that you are one of the many convincing proofs that he's alive? Amen. Being his follower, by serving him, by loving others on his behalf. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we, without you, this is just fellowship. We want to worship. We want to hear from you. So, Holy Spirit, would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a few years ago, I was in the midst of my education to working towards ordination, and one of the last classes I took was actually a what they called a homeless immersion class in Waco. There was a class and kind of sponsored by Mission Waco. It's similar to our Love and Care Ministries, on a little different, but very similar. They minister to the poor and disenfranchised in that community. But we simulated there was a group, I don't know, there was about 15 of us. We simulated homelessness for a week in Waco, and that was it was an impactful week for me. Well, the last day was going to be a Sunday morning worship service at a church called Church Under the Bridge. And the name is very accurate. About 1992, a pastor, he moved into the community to minister to the poor in that community, and he went under this bridge, I-35, that goes right down through Waco. There's a big overpass. And he went down there and he found four or five homeless men and said, "Would you like for me to lead a Bible study?" And they said, "Yes." And so he led a Bible study with these four or five men. And he said, "Would you like to do this again next week?" And they said, "Yes, we would." So he came back the next week under the bridge, and there was about 15 of them. And then the next week, there was about 50 of them. And then the next week, there was over 100, and that was in 1992, and they still, you can go online, just if you Google Church Under the Bridge, Waco, Texas, you'll see their website. They still do church there every Sunday morning at 10:30. Well, that particular Sunday that I was there, it was about the same temperature that it is today. It was right at 20 degrees. And it was cold. And it's one thing to be cold walking into church, and it's another thing to have church out in the cold. And so it was quite a deal. There was a man there, an African-American man, that a fairly young guy, that his name was Patrick. And I could not stop watching Patrick. If you've seen the movie Radio, you've seen someone very similar to Patrick. And he's working, he's going through, and everyone there, he said hi to. He couldn't understand what he was saying, but he went and greeted everyone in there numerous times during the day. He's just working the crowd. Well, when they first started worshiping, doing the Church Under the Bridge, he wanted to be on the praise team. Well, you can't understand him talking. You certainly couldn't understand him singing, and he didn't play anything. Well, the first week, they got him up there, and they gave him a set of bongo drums. He said, the preacher that said, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. He went after those bongos. Well, the next week, they decided they gave him a guitar, and they kind of did him the way when I'm on the praise team. They give you a guitar, but they don't plug it in. You're sounding good, Jeff. Keep it going. Anyway, but they gave Patrick a guitar, and it wasn't plugged in, and it's actually a bass guitar, and he was strumming it like a guitar, and he's walking all around, and he goes up on the stage. I got a short little clip of Patrick. Go ahead, Lee. There's the So Patrick, I'm going to talk more about him in just a little bit, but Patrick, you couldn't understand a word he was saying. Patrick was just, he was so thrilled to be there and worshiping the Lord and being with God's people. He was thrilled. We're going to be talking about kingdom, God's kingdom. So is Patrick part of that kingdom? Well, he can't talk. I'm not sure how mentally sharp he is. Patrick's in that kingdom? Kingdom seems to be this topic that's fairly important. Jesus, I love this passage that we read today. So Jesus, he's been crucified, he's been resurrected, he spent 40 days teaching, and what do they say he's teaching about? The kingdom. He's teaching about the kingdom. And I mentioned this last week, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but when we look to add a sanctuary out here, that's kingdom stuff. I'm not interested in impressing anybody in the city. If I look at what we can do, it's kingdom stuff. Jesus spent 40 days speaking about the kingdom. It's mentioned, the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is mentioned 157 times in the New Testament. Jesus constantly was saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he would teach a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like. It's like this. It's like that. He's inviting people in. John the Baptist, as he's preparing the way for Jesus, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, when he received the Holy Spirit, he goes and he does battle with the devil for 40 days in the wilderness, and he comes out and he launches his ministry. What does he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And somehow this word repent seems to be attached to kingdom. That we must repent to be a part of the kingdom. So I'm starting a series. We're going to talk about the kingdom a lot for a few weeks here, and I'm just going to lay the groundwork today. But the series is the upside down kingdom. God's kingdom isn't like the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world, if the powerful rule. Jesus flipped the script on that. We're going to talk more about that in coming weeks. Today's message is it's available to all. It's available to Patrick. It's available to you and me. We're going to talk about that a little bit. First thing I want us to look at, God's kingdom on earth should look just like heaven. What's happening in heaven? The Father's on the throne, and he's high and exalted, and he's being worshipped. Well, Jesus taught us to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let that be happening down here is what I think Jesus is saying. You want to be part of the kingdom, you have to worship the King of the kingdom. Kingdom of heaven, this spiritual domain where God's people reside and where God reigns. So that's the goal, to make down here on earth what's happening already in heaven and what will someday happen over all the earth. Secondly, God's kingdom belongs to those completely dependent upon him. Belongs to those completely dependent upon him. So there's the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus where he's teaching. You can find it in Matthew chapter 5, but you can also find it in Luke, I think it's chapter 12, where he teaches this Sermon on the Mount, what we call Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5:3, he says this in that teaching to the masses. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there it is again. So what is poor in spirit? Is he talking about we've got to be broke to be... No, that's not what he's talking about at all. He's saying right up front, I have a kingdom. If you want to be part of it, you must be poor in spirit. And poor in spirit is those that recognize that God's all they got. That's all we got. And it's enough. The poor in spirit are those who have God as their only resource. The humble. The poor in spirit recognizes that they don't have the spiritual capacity to address their own spiritual needs. In other words, we can't be good enough to be part of this kingdom. You don't earn your way into the kingdom. It's not the good are in and the not so good are out. The poor in spirit are in. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit is to recognize our utter spiritual bankruptcy before God. We got nothing to give Him. Did you know God's not a needy God? He desires things from us. He desires our worship. He desires our faithfulness. He desires our service, our love. But He's not a needy God. He doesn't need those things. He desires those things in us because He wants relationship with us. He wants intimacy with us. And to be poor in spirit is to recognize we got nothing to offer Him, but He wants us anyway. The kingdom of God belongs to those completely dependent upon Him. And thirdly, God's kingdom requires love and action. It's not our ticket to get into the kingdom, but it's proof that we reside in the kingdom. My favorite story, probably my favorite healing story, is found in Luke chapter 5, where I'll just read a couple of verses here. When Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Now, leprosy was, if you had leprosy, you were an outcast. No one wanted to be near you because they were scared to death they'd catch it. They certainly didn't want to touch you. They didn't even want to breathe the same air that you breathed. So the lepers were the outcast. A man came along. He was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged Him, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." Do you hear the desperateness in His voice? It doesn't say it here, but you can paint the picture. No one else will have anything to do with me because I'm covered with this leprosy. And he falls face down and he says, "Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean." Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. And this is interesting. Some of you retired pastors, y'all can correct me later if I'm wrong, but I don't know any other healing where it records Jesus specifically touched. Now he put mud in the eye to heal the blind man, but I'm talking about reaching out where it makes a very big point. He reached out and touched this man. "I am willing," Jesus said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. So Jesus, to be in His kingdom, we see past the surface. What He really needed was not just to be cleansed of this disease. He needed someone that was willing to touch Him, that had compassion on Him. To be in God's kingdom requires us to love like that. To have compassion on those that nobody else has compassion on. And I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying your pastor is 100% great at it. But that's the heart of God for us. You want to be in My kingdom? You need to repent you can be in My kingdom. Now, the proof that you are part of My kingdom, proof that I am your king, is that you love. Put your love into action. 1 John, Apostle John, he's a little more blunt. He says this: "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" He's saying what we do, how we love, is proof whether or not we're part of the kingdom. So, back to Patrick. Throw that up there, Lee. Patrick. So I was mesmerized by Patrick. It was hard for me to notice anything else. I was just watching him, and he'd go around and he was greeting, he's shaking hands, and he's hugging people, And he's going around and he's saying things to people and nobody could understand a word he was saying. But he had a big smile on his face and he was worshiping. And he liked, there was some high school kids there and he liked, there were some cute high school girls. I think he liked those girls. There were some seats in front of them that were unoccupied and he'd come up. And he'd put his foot in that chair with his prop his guitar up and he'd strum and he'd just look at them. And they loved it. They soaked it up. And he as I said, I don't know how many times he came around to me babbling something that I couldn't understand and hugged my neck, shook my hand, made sure I felt welcome and greeted. And I just feel like the last, towards the end of the service, I really feel like the Holy Spirit opened my ears to understand what he was saying to me, had been for an hour and a half, that I couldn't understand. And here's what he was saying to me. Do you need anything? Do you need anything? I'm thinking, Patrick's in the kingdom. Well, nobody's understanding what he's saying, but he's just wanting to go around. He's just trying to help people. And I'm thinking, this guy, you can see his jacket's not all that thick, and it's freezing. I had a big old coat on with a toboggan and gloves, and I was freezing to death. And he's living on the street, and he's coming up to me asking if I needed anything. Man, to love like that, church, that's the kingdom. And we're going to be talking more about it these coming weeks. But I wanted to lay the groundwork. We repent of our sins, and we enter into this kingdom where Jesus is high and lifted up. He's our king, and we love on his behalf. That's kingdom. If you'll bow your heads with me as the praise team comes back. Jesus, thank you for Patrick. I don't know where he is today, Lord. I pray that he's doing well. I thank you for the impact he made in my life. May we be like Patrick. Even more so, may we be like Jesus. Do you need anything? May we love you, Lord, and may we love our neighbors as ourselves. May we touch those that just need a friendly touch. Outcast and maybe the whole rest of the world, but they just need somebody that loves them, that cares about them, that has compassion on them. Because Lord, your kingdom belongs to those that are humble before you. Not the boastful, not the proud, but the humble. Teach us how to be like that. Give us your heart. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close, I invite you to stand if you're able as we worship. The altar is always open. If you don't know that Jesus, who is the King of Kings, don't leave this place without visiting with me about that. should be like it is in heaven. This kingdom in heaven, let it be that way on earth. Church, that's good news. Go and share it with someone. Go and tell. In Jesus' name, amen.
Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all praise, you are the King. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.